The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices.
It sure is. And this is The Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole. And we have a hoe of history today.
We do. And Nicole has a little buddy to hang out with today.
I know. Oh, he must have moved.
We're not talking about a guy. A man.
No, he's my little foster buddy. Ever since podcast pet Gia passed away, I've basically had a rotation in my home of dog sitting. And I'm a sucker for a dog that comes out of a shitty situation. And so my ability to provide a very calming environment makes me desirable for rescues. So here we are.
That, and you don't have any other animals to mess with them. It's just,
I don't have any other animals. I don't have any children, and I have a fenced in yard. So check.
Pretty perfect.
And I have patience.
Yeah, that's the best part.
So
you're going to make the best foster mom ever.
I know. Everyone is like putting bets on whether or not I actually adopt him. Because right now I'm like, no, it's just a foster.
My sister and her boyfriend tried to foster Nako, their second child. And he went from foster to theirs in like 26 hours, I think. Did not take them long at all.
That has not happened with me thus far. He's proving to be a bit of a challenging case. Thankfully, though, he hasn't nipped or tried to bite me.
Yeah, there's the side. That's the plus about all of this.
But he is Gia 2.0.
Yeah.
He is Gia reincarnated. He's extremely picky about what he eats.
We're going to call him Gianni.
Except for Gia always looked like a princess or like a little queen, like royalty. So I added Sir in front of his name. So the rescue named him William. So I've been calling him Sir William.
Dude, it fits. That only makes sense.
He's a Pomeranian and I assume terrier mix. And he's just like this 13-pound fluff ball.
Of anxiety.
Yeah. And wants to love. He wants to love.
That's good. Keep encouraging the want.
I know. But yeah, he hasn't fought me too hard about putting a diaper on him.
Yeah, I figured at that point. You sent me a picture of him with a diaper. I'm like, that's a male dog. So he's just pissing all over the place.
Like, we just had the first peeing incident in the house. He did poop in the house, but on the tile in the kitchen. And I was like, maybe he was kept on cement. Like, that was familiar because he was kept outside.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
So he's very apprehensive about hands at all, and especially trying to like put a leash or harness or anything on him. The leash, though, I think he might have been tethered
probably
outside. And so that's why he's like, get that thing away from me.
Yeah.
More than and I'm like, we're just trying to go on a gingerly little walk.
Listen, little buddy, you need exercise. I know it's terrifying, but we're going to get there.
Even if I have to reward you with canned cheese. Squeezy canned cheese. That's all he'll eat.
It's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Has zero interest in the food that the rescue gave me.
Any food, just cheese whiz. He loves cheese whiz. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and like mm-hmm. I said, you just got to go with what you know sometimes.
Yeah. They even gave me some like more expensive treats. Mm-hmm. One of them was like freeze dried salmon. You know what he does with it? He licks it and yep, spits it back out.
Blap. I will gladly take those off your hands. So no, mine will not blap them out.
Well, and he has whipworm. So I don't know how that parasite affects them, but he might just not be feeling good or his digestive system could be fucked up. And so he might have interest after we clear the whipworm.
Yeah, could potentially. That's a good point.
So I'm just going to hold on to stuff until we get through that. But I have a feeling if it's Gia reincarnated, it's
not
going to be a thing.
Not going to be a thing. I guess, well, we have time. We have to find out now.
Looks like her.
Definitely acts like her. Definitely acts like her so far.
Oh, anyway. Yes. We have a new podcast, Pat, joining us.
Thank you.
I'm here, William. And the thing that cracks me up the most is when other people put in their text, Sir William, like when they're like, how's Sir William? I'm like,
I love that it's Sir William. I love it. It only suits your need to be in the UK.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And our home of history is coming from England today.
I'll be damned. Well, let's get into it.
Would you expect anything else?
No, not even
honestly. Of course, I was inspired. I had to pick somebody from England.
I'm actually kind of shocked you don't refer to him as Prince William, because it's like two birds, one stone. Prince, your favorite artist, and he's European. Ew.
There's already a Prince William. Well, I mean, I guess he's in line to be king, or is he Duke? Duke William?
I got nothing.
I don't know. I asked the rescue. I was like, is he responding to his name? And they're like, no, because we don't even know what his name was. So we just had to give it to him. And after naming 16 dogs, we started running out of names. So he got William. He was one of the first ones. So he got a good one.
Yeah.
As the night went on, they started using names like Fudge and Einstein.
And Pebble. Yeah. This is Fudge. This is Pebble.
Instead of trying to like come up with something new, I was like, let's just add on.
Yeah, no, why not? Spice it up. We don't need to traumatize them anymore.
So anyway, my whole of history for today is Ada Lovelace.
Ooh, I don't know who that is at all.
I think you'll find her extremely interesting.
Probably.
She is an English mathematician. Okay. And was called the first tech visionary by the New Yorker. So she's also been called the first computer programmer for writing an algorithm for a computing machine in the mid-1800s.
Yeah, bitch. That's what I'm talking about. I just got chill bumps.
So I said, I think you'll find her fascinating, actually.
I don't know why this stuff makes me emotional. Like, my body viscerally reacted to that. Like, I have goosebumps about that. For why? For why?
Well, because as we get into the story, like many of the others, there's always debate when it's a woman.
Oh, yeah.
On the credibility. And so I think it gives you goosebumps because it's like, okay, it's out there in black and white, and reputable resources are calling her said thing when it was. It could have been stripped away. Let me just put it that way.
Of course. Of course.
And we saw that with some of our other stories. I mean, goodness gracious. We almost had a Medal of Honor stripped away from a woman.
It was stripped. She never returned
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. She just didn't return it.
They deemed her strippable. And they fucking tried. Bitch, try. Come take it off me then. You know where to find me. Come on.
That's right. She just.
Right here.
She wore it in all of her pictures. It's a big fuck you. Oh, man.
God, I love it so much. What a fucking petty bitch. Like, I'm sorry. You want my medal? Come take it off of my boob. It's going to be there every day until I fucking die. Come take it from me. I dare you.
Well, back to Our Lady of the Day today.
Yeah.
Ada Lovelace.
Ada!
She was born Augusta Ada Byron on Augusta. December 10th. Augusta. A-U-G-U-S-T-A.
I feel like Augusta Gloop.
I don't know what that
is. Is that from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? I feel like there was a name Augusta, but I could be completely wrong. Anyway, continue.
Augusta Ada Byron on December 10th, 1815. So she was born into privilege as the daughter of a famously unstable romantic poet, Lord George Gordon Byron.
Oh, she's Lord Byron's daughter. I know who that fucking crazy person is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the apple doesn't far so fall, huh?
Yeah. Apple doesn't kind fall of. So
far. Did I just fall in far?
I knew what you meant.
What?
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree was the saying that was, but you got there.
I got mashed potato brains for the record.
Lord Byron's marriage to Ada's mother, Lady Anne Isabella Milbanke, I think.
Spell it?
M-I-L-B-A-N-K-E. Hmm. Their marriage was not a happy one. Ada was the only legitimate child of the couple.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. There's other children in the mix. We'll get to that. She was the only of them, too. So Lord Byron expected Ada to actually be a quote unquote glorious boy and was disappointed when Lady Byron gave birth to a girl. Ada's named after Byron's half sister. So she's named after her dad's half sister, Augusta Lee. That's where the Augusta comes from.
Yeah.
But, her dad called her Ada instead. So on January 16th, 1816, we're talking 5 weeks later, at her father, Lord Byron's command, he had the mother and Ada move out of their parents' home and basically tried to get a separation. So although English law at the time granted full custody of children to the father in cases of separation, he made no attempt to claim any parental rights. So he just told his sister to keep him informed about Ada's welfare. And so then a couple of months later, they signed a deed of separation and he left England for Greece. So then after the separation, her mother continued throughout her life to make allegations about her husband / ex-husband / Ada's dad's immoral behavior. So, yeah, so she would be a gossip and that made Ada infamous in like old Victorian society, even though Ada was a baby.
Well, because so, she was born of a fucking asshole and everybody knew, right?
True. So Ada never had a relationship with her dad and he ended up dying in 1824 when she was 8. Hmm. So her mom was the only parental figure out of the mom and dad duo. However, her mom remained pretty bitter and wanted Ada to focus her interest on mathematics and logic in an effort to prevent her from developing her father's perceived insanity. So,
I mean, she's not wrong. At least she did that for her.
Like, hey, so, listen, your dad, your biological, he's fucked. We don't want that. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to focus on things that are tangible and real, like math and science.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ada didn't even see a family portrait with her father in it until her 20th birthday. Yeah, because her mom was a bitter Betty.
So she really kind of didn't know what her fucking dad looked like, huh?
She really did not know for 20 years.
I mean, not to say that's what people have that ability to do that now, but sometimes they do. I mean, I guess that she could have been like, he was kind of famous. What did my dad look like? You know, and find like hand drawn things or paintings or.
I don't know, man. God,
what a concept. Anyway.
So Ada never met her younger half sister. Her name was Allegra. And so that was Lord Byron and Claire Claremont's daughter. But Allegra died in 1822 at the age of 5. And then Ada did have some contact with Elizabeth Lee, who was the daughter of Lord Byron's half-sister, Augusta Lee. And
some ghetto math.
And they were purposely avoided at court. Like, they weren't really like introduced to each other because there was rumors that Elizabeth was made out of incest between Lord Byron and his half sister. Your face.
Oh no. I wouldn't put it past him. He was a sick motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
We're never going to do an episode on Lord Byron. So if you guys are interested in knowing, look him up. What a trip. What a fucking nightmare.
So her mother, Lady Byron, had mathematical training. That's where she was trying to, you know, make Ada pursue math. And so Lord Byron actually called Lady Byron his princess of parallelograms. So that was an unusual education for women, obviously, was math. And it's really like the only thing that her and her mother had in common. They did not have a close relationship. Her mother often left her in the care of her grandmother, which was her mom's mom. And because of societal attitudes at the time, which we had mentioned, like the father normally would get the custody of the children during a separation, the whole optics of everything wasn't great. So her mother would try to present herself as a loving mother to society. So she would write letters to her mother. Lady Byron, I should say, would write letters to her mother, Ada's grandmother, asking about her welfare. And she would include a cover note saying, please retain these letters in case that she has to use them to show maternal concern later.
Oh my God.
Lady Byron referred to her daughter as it.
What a fucking nightmare these people were.
She said, this is a quote, I talked to it for your satisfaction, not my own, and she'll be very glad when you have it under your own. Meaning it, meaning her daughter in that sentence.
Mm-hmm. Also that it was incest.
No. This one was not incest.
No, I'm saying it was. Your previous train of thought, it was in fact incest.
Oh, you
did the hard search.
Google verified?
Yeah. I can't believe she would refer to her own daughter as it. And then had the audacity to be like, hang on to these notes.
Right.
Just
she case. Literally said, I talked to it for your satisfaction.
Oh my God. And, like the context of the notes are not going to help your cause, lady.
Right. Oh man. So Ada actually was often ill. She was sick quite a bit. I know. And it's not, well, I was going to say, actually, it's not like they wouldn't be linked in my mind, because her father died when she was 8. And then at the age of 8 is when she started to experience headaches.
Oh.
So the trauma could be linked. Yeah, the headaches were so bad that it obscured her vision. Dreams, huh? And then in 1829, she was actually paralyzed after a bout of measles. So she was on continuous bed rest, which didn't help with other disabilities. But then 2 years later, she was able to walk with crutches. So despite being on bed rest and whatnot, she still worked on her mathematical and technological skills, because, you know, she didn't really have much else that she could do, because she couldn't even like walk for a couple of years.
She couldn't be an adulterer because she didn't have the business to adulter.
No. So then when she was 12 years old, she wanted to fly. And so she had this idea about flying. So she tried to like kind of come up with an invention or a solution. And so she was examining the birds and investigating various materials that she could use as wings. And in the course of her research, she wrote and illustrated a guide called Flyology. So she wanted to record her findings and kept kind of playing around with this project until her mother reprimanded her for neglecting her real studies. Because her mother wanted her to have a rational course of life, not a fanciful one.
Oh, again, with the solid direction, just shitty fucking person. I don't get it. She's like, look, I got burned. You can clearly see he's a dickhead. We're not going to let you do that because you'll fail. But also, fuck you. So,
yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. So then, like, 4 or 5 years later, it's 1833, and Ada ends up having an affair with her tutor, and she tried to actually elope. She was, like, 16 or 17.
Wow. Okay.
She tried to elope with him, but was caught because the tutor's relatives recognized her and contacted her mother. So, not the best.
Wait a minute.
Plan of action.
That's that Lovelace kid. You can't be doing that. No, no, no. Back up, back up, back out. Wee-oo, wee-oo, red alert. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
So her mom and friends like covered up the whole incident, tried to prevent a scandal, blah, blah, blah. So then that same year, which was 1833, Ada became close friends with her tutor, Mary Somerville, who's her new tutor.
And a lady at that.
Yes. They actually had a really good relationship. And Mary Somerville introduced her to Charles Babbage. Now, he was a professor of mathematics at Cambridge, and he was known as the inventor of the difference engine. So it was a calculating machine that operated by the method of finite differences. Her and Charles started having a bunch of correspondence about math and logic and who knows what else. no one's claimed it, but you know. So some of her other acquaintances were people like Charles Dickens, Sir David Brewster.
Sure.
You know, so Lady Byron and Ada moved to an elite London society, and she was presented at court at the age of 17. So like 17 was a big year for her.
Well, old, isn't it?
Well, you know, they had to wait till she came back from trying to elope with her tutor. And she was a popular belle of the season because of her brilliant mind. So I couldn't find anything about anyone saying something in regards to her looks or her beauty or whatever. Normally, when we come across these things, there's always some ridiculous quotes and stuff. Yeah. But no, I didn't find anything. So
I was looking up pictures of her, and from what I can tell, she was a very beautiful lady. Yeah. Soft features.
Yeah. I mean, she seemed average. So I guess that was good enough, but then they were turned on by her brilliant mind. And so then she ended up marrying William King, who was 10 years older than her. And King inherited a title in 1838. And so they became the Earl and Countess of Lovelace.
Where is Lovelace?
In England somewhere.
Were they in Lovely? Okay. Oh, I see. I get it now.
So they ended up having three children. However, the fortunes were kind of directed at Lady Byron, Ada's mom. And I don't know why. She was, I guess it's just because she was control freak and she was super domineering. And so Ada's husband never really like opposed her.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
And then they had three children. And the first child's name is Byron, which was her maiden last name.
She didn't get it.
And then the second was Anne Isabella, and the third was Ralph Gordon. And Gordon also came from her father's name. Mm-hmm. Unless I have that wrong, nope. But I do know that both boys were named after her father.
Yeah, his real name was Gordon something or something Gordon.
George Gordon Byron. Yeah,
there it is.
So that's why I'm like, the first child might be named George, not Byron. But anyway, she named both boys after her father.
I mean,
in some capacity.
Just so weird.
Yeah. So then her and her husband shared their love of horses, and they raised their children, and he was very supportive of her academic endeavors. So she had taken some time off from studying or pursuing anything while she was becoming a mother. She also, though, suffered more health issues and had a bout of Gloria, C-H-O-L-E-R-A,
Gloria,
yeah. I guess, in 1837, which is when her second daughter was born. And so that resulted in lingering problems with asthma and her digestive system. And so the doctors would give her painkillers, but we know what painkillers were back in the day, right?
Cocaine in your blood.
Opium.
Well, it's the same now. And just so and, everybody knows, achloria is just diarrhea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you can get, it's a bacterial infection.
Ah. And so as a result of the painkillers, her personality began to change. So then she experienced Shocking. Mood swings and hallucinations.
Oh, because she was eating a bunch of pills she probably shouldn't have.
Which, those would generally either make you shit more or constipated, I would assume.
I don't believe like full opiate uncut like we have today. Mm-hmm, I feel like they were like, here, just take a little. She's like, all right. And then she took a little too many's, and then she was in la la land. Mm-hmm. Like a motherfucker.
That's
true. She became
true.
An addict because opium dens.
Yeah. Okay, move on from that and talk a little bit more about her relationship of sorts that she had with Babbage. Now, remember, Babbage is the one who, had the mathematical invention of the difference engine, and she would write letters with. And so he demonstrated how this small part of an engine worked. And she was fascinated with it and was asked to actually publish a translation of an article about an analytical engine from an Italian engineer to French, I think it was. And so she had an understanding of the engine and how it worked and everything that went into it from Babbage. And then this Italian engineer had written an article on analytical engines. And so she was then asked to translate it to French. And when she was translating, she inserted a lot of her own notes. She took it upon herself to add a few bits and pieces.
It, huh? Oh, you don't know what I'm saying. So what I'm going to tell you to do is...
It should work.
So, yeah. So her notes included the first published description of a stepwise sequence of operations for solving certain mathematical problems. And so she was referred to as the first programmer.
It's pretty remarkable if you think about it.
Right.
Like, she was like, oh, we got to feed this thing a bunch of mathematical equations. We can do that.
Well, she also basically was like, if you think about a computer today, we listen to music on it and voices and see things and all this stuff. So she basically envisioned that this would come to life. Like, she was like, we should be able to interpret music through a computer and art and stuff like through a computer. So she spent quite a bit of time explaining, researching, you know, adding her own notes to different things, mm-hmm, about her idealism of what the future would be and why these notes would be able to be translated through a computer programming system. And so
sorry, really quickly, I looked up the difference engine.
Yeah,
it was an automatic mechanical calculator designed to tabulate polynomial functions. So it was like the first calculator.
Mm-hmm. But it was like really cute. Intense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's the size of an elephant.
It was a very complicated machine for you to do some small amounts of math.
It never actually ended up working.
Right. Well, that's what I like to do, some small amounts of math. Like,
a math equation. Sign me up.
So anyway, there has been debate about the originality of Ada's contributions with these notes and ideas and how they got published and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know why so, we're debating this. She wrote the notes.
I know. And so she basically described how codes could be created for the device to handle letters and symbols along with numbers. Yeah, so she theorized a method for the engine to repeat a series of instructions, which is a process known as looping that computer programs use today.
She's a roboticist. She's a robotist? Robotinist? She makes robots, goddammit.
So, she had these thoughts and forward-thinking concepts published in the English Science Journal, and she only used initials AAL for Augusta Ada Lovelace in the publication. So she didn't even use her current like title or anything. She used her initials. So it's not like she was like, I'm lady or countess or whatever. So her article attracted very little attention while she was alive. It would have obviously captured more attention if she would have used her actual name. And so
she gained notoriety at 8 years old or some shit, right?
Oh, that Lovelace kid, she grew up to do some shit. All right, let's check it out.
Right. Well, and when she was a kid, her last name was Byron, so she was attached to,
there you go,
Lord Byron. So actually, in her later years, she tried to develop mathematical schemes for winning at gambling. Those schemes failed, and
I can't hate on her for it.
Except for then she was in like financial peril. So,
it's just too bad for her.
So then they don't really fill in the blanks much after that, because unfortunately she didn't live for very long. She died at the age of 36.
What?
Yeah.
What year?
From uterine cancer in 1852.
Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Uterine cancer? Are we sure on that? Is that what it came down to ultimately?
I mean, I guess they're as sure as they could be. It said that the illness lasted several months.
Oh my goodness, that poor thing.
So she was looked after by her own daughter and friends. And then her mother, oh my God, here she comes again. Here she comes with her influence, and had Ada do a religious transformation. And so she was then coaxed into repenting of her previous conduct and making Annabella her executor. Annabella, her daughter.
I can't. I can't. These women in history who are just so fucking selfish and controlling, I can't stand it.
Well, and I'm not exactly sure where this religious transformation came from, other than the fact that she did lose contact with her husband after confessing something to him. So he like abandoned her from her bedside while she was sick.
What?
And so I don't know what she did or what she confessed to, and if that's why her mother was like, religious transformation.
Oh man, I wonder if she was like, I'll maybe let girls. And he was like, what? Bye.
I don't know. Or maybe she confessed to the gambling stuff, but I feel like he would know. So I couldn't figure out what the secret was that she told him. She was buried next to her father at her request. And there is a memorial plaque written in Latin to her and her father in the chapel. It took almost a century after her death for people to appreciate her notes on Babbage's analytical engine and what she contributed to the article where she did the translation. In the late 70s, the Department of Defense developed a software language called Ada, one that brought together a number of different programming languages. And so they said it's fitting for Lovelace, a woman who rode horses and played the harp and studied poetry, to tie seemingly disparate elements together. There's a quote in there that basically says, computer programming has so many interactions with the rest of the world. While Babbage possessed technical ingenuity, Lovelace propelled his invention into the nascent days of computing. She was the first person to see the true potential. And so for this, Babbage called her Lady Fairy.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Oh, I did have a whole section about the incest.
Yeah.
I knew I did, but it gets really confusing with all the names and people included. Basically, Ada was not surprised. She was just like, I figured.
I can't, like, I'm so like, what did she say to him to make him leave her? Now I want to know.
I don't know. I mean, she lost more than 3,000 pounds on horses during one of the years when she was gambling. And for that time, I'm sure that was a hell of a lot of money.
I'm going to say that was probably it.
She had like, they called it a shadowy relationship with a guy. There's no real anything anywhere saying though that she had an affair.
I don't know if she did. I doubt it.
But she did have to, after the thousands of pounds of debt that she acquired, she was forced to tell her husband. So that's why I'm like, that could be the secret.
I have a feeling that was it.
And probably like, so that. Yeah.
But she probably so after about where all the money actually went.
Right.
And then she's like, I have a confession for you. And I spent it all and I lost it all. And he was probably like, oh my God. And he like, he's like, I'm gonna leave now before I kill you.
I guess, even though she was basically on her deathbed.
Well, you know, men don't really care about that kind of shit back then, now do they?
No, they did not.
No,
they do not at all. So the reason I say shadowy relationship, it was with John Cross, is because it could have happened after her husband left. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why it's not like an actual affair. She did get kind of panicky when she found out during her illness that he was being kept from being able to visit her.
What?
Like he wanted to visit her, but people weren't letting him.
Why?
I don't know. Because in theory, or technically, I guess, she was still married.
No, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, that
was the 1800s, so it wasn't like the 1900s.
Mm-mm. This was like 1840s. So, yeah, I mean, all over the place, man. Her brilliant mind led her to all kinds of odd hobbies, ups and downs, illnesses. Well, I mean, she was a lady, a countess or whatever. I mean, her story is crazy for her only being 36.
I was going to say, it seems like she had, from what you have told me, it sounds like she got a lot accomplished in her 36 years of existence. I mean, it's pretty aggressive to be the first computer programmer and to be a woman. So she did her turn. She did, you know, she did her time.
Right.
She
right.
kicked us off. Just like, not here for a long time, just a good time, everybody. I'm going to kick you off right here and then, boop, I'm out. Computers, the future, go.
Right, right. Yeah, oh, here's a juicy bit from the incest piece. Is that... She said that she did not blame the incestuous relationship on her father, but instead blamed Augusta Lee, the aunt slash his half sister, because she said that she was more inherently wicked than he ever was. I know. That's why I said, like, she got daddy issues because she named her kids after him still, even though he was like, I'm out of here. I'm gonna bounce.
Yeah. Oh, I saw something and I clicked off of it, but he had said something like when he fled to Greece, he wasn't necessarily like excited about it. And so he was like, well, because it wasn't against the law, it wasn't illegal for incest at the time.
Yeah.
So he fled on his own volition, or he was chased out on, you know, whatever, but he was still very much connected to her then, because he was like, farewell thee, my daughter, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's just, you know, poet, dramatic, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the wild world of gambling, potential affairs, and computer programming.
Incest. Red incest.
Royalty.
Gambling.
I mean, this story has it all. It would be a great movie.
I was just getting ready to say, like, maybe we should make a movie.
Honestly, it would be sad because she dies from cancer. But yeah, most movies based on people's lives is because they're dead, though. So I guess we're used to that.
Right. I mean,
mean, and it has been maybe a couple hundred years. So I don't know if anybody really has that personal connection.
No, but I think that her story would be a great movie. It's full of action.
Yeah. And it's only, she's only 37. So it's like, it wouldn't be that long.
Quick hour and a half.
I'm real horrible.
Just be a quick hour and a half watch,
you know,
maybe even like a mini series.
I could do a mini series. I feel like a mini series would do it more justice at this point.
Right. I recently watched Candy, the mini series on Hulu about Candy Montgomery.
Something else.
We watched it.
It's on my list of things to peruse.
It was a little difficult to keep up with the story because I was doing other things, as I naturally do. I don't ever just watch TV.
As one does.
But man, fucked up. It was fucked up. It was.
I feel like I'm gonna have to just watch it right now after this.
Jessica Biel plays Candy, and she has that other show on USA that she was in like the first season of, and now is just like an executive producer or whatever. But I've been surprisingly, I guess, thrilled with her choices.
She's actually good. That show that she was in, the horror thriller shit that she was in.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that show. Even like the seasons where she's not in them, it's still really good. It's still a really good show.
Yeah. And I remember when the miniseries came out and there was like all this promotion around the fact that Justin Timberlake was in it too. So, you know, them together in it. He doesn't come in till later and he has a fairly small role. So.
Still, it's JT. Gotta love his cameos. Oh, and
but it was a good story.
So, tidbit of current events from me in my world, Amanda Bynes has lost her mind.
She lost her mind a long time ago.
She did lose her mind a long time ago, and she was healthy and she was doing better, and then her boyfriend relapsed and then she got bad. I think that's the story
of how she ended up naked.
No, well, I mean, that's
out in public, but that's what I saw the news, like that's why I saw that she was arrested most recently.
Yes, so she called 911 on herself and she was like, I'm having a psychotic episode, I need to be taken in. She's been taken to the on a grippy sock vacation like several times, but I am just continuously blown away by the fact that these people were mega stars and then they've become these sad versions of themselves. And then there's other people who are mega stars that are like, man, I'm just gonna ride this fame out until I don't want to anymore, like JT and Jessica Biel. Like, we grew up with Amanda
Jessica Biel continued to work. Amanda Bynes
got sick.
Yeah, so
right, just crazy.
Mental health diseases are just that, right? They're diseases, and it's hard to have that much success at that age and not feel like you've peaked or have a downturn. It's almost inevitable. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how people handle the spotlight and then all of a sudden there being like a crash in your career. We've seen it time and time again with celebrities.
There's a show or documentary, I think it's on the Flix and or whatever, but it's a documentary about the show Glee. Remember the show Glee?
Yeah, I heard that there was an enormous amount of rumor mills and gossip and everything with Glee.
That show,
I never watched it.
It was okay. Like, I remember watching it when I was living with my mom and dad after college. And I was like, well, this is new. There's a wheelchair kid and a gay kid. And like, you know, they were exposing the differences in humans and they weren't trying to whitewash everything. It was on primetime TV. I was like, all right, this is a cool show. So we kind of watched it here and there. And then like, but then I remember later on, one of the characters, Puck, that everybody loved, he was like arrested for child pornography. And I was like, what the fuck? So then I started digging into it even more. I was like, man, this show's really fucked up. And then the documentary came out and I was like, it's all in one spot. I highly recommend anybody go watch it. It's insane.
I am mostly aware of the drama surrounding Lea Michele.
Yeah, she's a fucking cunt.
Like, racism.
She's a straight up cunt. I said it twice.
Yeah.
She's so, not a good person.
That's what I said. I'm mostly aware of the rumor mills around her.
Well, she's, I think, the catalyst to quite a bit of bad things because of, you know, her hunger for fame and stardom. She was manipulating and pushing people to do things they shouldn't do just so that she could continue to be famous. Watch that.
Because
watch
there was that more, there were more negative rumors when she was doing Broadway too after that show.
Yep.
Oh,
she's a fucking awful human.
Whoever the gay guy was on the show, he's been very vocal.
Yeah, he has been very vocal. He should be.
I don't know if he went to the extent of calling her homophobic or maybe other people on the cast or something, but I do know that he's been not shy in articles and videos and stuff like that. So
no, because it's a well-known fact she's a fucking piece of shit human being.
Wow.
And for some reason people continue to fucking hire her. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know why certain people are dealt the cards that they're dealt, and why like Amanda Bynes was, I don't know if she was like set up for failure or didn't have the support that she needed to get her through her adolescence with all of this attention, which I have no idea how anyone manages that. But then why Lea Michele is able to continue on with life.
She's a narcissist.
And you know what I mean? Like,
diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I go, but it's all because, like, it's the cards that you've been dealt.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate. And if you don't have the right support system or the right people around you, like, unfortunately, disaster ensues.
Disaster. It really does. Well, that is from a real life human being that I worked with once upon a time, who was Italian and did not speak English as their first language. And I asked him how a meeting went, and he looked at me and straight up goes, "It was a disaster," just like that. So now, disaster. Because it's hilarious. Anyway, aside. So what is your Attagirl going to be today then?
I fostered this.
That's what I thought.
This in-house peeing, barking, whipwormy, super cute, lovable animal.
Just the upfront barriers we got to cross, and then what we're going to get to after them.
Yeah. The fact that I was like, okay, I'll take one for the team, Sir William, King of Anxiety.
Of the anxiety region.
Yes, man. Poor guy. I feel bad for him.
Byron Williams. Of the anxiety region.
Yeah. What's your Attagirl?
Well, I am pretty proud of myself, and it's unfortunately nothing crazy wild and special. It's just my new job has been very aggressive, and I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted something that was going to be productive. But I'm like,
I'm recognizing now, like the other day I was like looking at my boss, I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. And she was like, and I'm like, don't worry, I'm not acting on it. I'm just telling you, like, there's a lot of stuff happening my way and I'm feeling overwhelmed, but I'm not letting it cause me to make decisions or anything like that. And I feel like I'm really proud of myself because in the past I would let overwhelm, like I would act on it or act through the overwhelm, but now I'm like, nope, you don't need to be that overwhelmed. There's really nothing that important. Ever, period. Like there's never going to be something that you have. Nope. So I'm feeling
good for you. You're processing.
Yeah. I'm feeling strong on not being as reactive as I once was. And that's exactly what I wanted out of this job. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
That's good. That's pretty nice that you've achieved your goal in 3 months.
It only took three.
Except for the years and years and years of getting there.
Yeah. You mean the 10 plus years of people making me cry?
I guess it was 2 months, right? So, atta girl.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well,
and
if you guys.
I'm not done yet. I got more.
Oh, excuse me.
And I'm just adding this right now. My boss assigned me as her backup, which is actually a fairly big deal considering I've only been to the company for 2 months and there are people who have been on the team for maybe more than her has been director. So like suckers.
Or maybe they've done it before and they think you're the sucker.
No, she looked at me and she was like, I need you. And I was like, that's okay. You can
have you. I'm just messing with you. Because I called myself a sucker for taking in this dog. So
No.
Now I have to call you a sucker for taking on more work.
I was voluntold.
Yeah.
There was no volunteering about that. I'm not trying to take one for any team.
Well, atta girl. Thanks. Proud of you.
Thanks.
If you guys liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. You can get your Homeance merch from my Etsy store if you go to etsy.com/shop/Nicole Bonneville. You can also find us on Instagram at Homeance_Chronicles. And you can email us a Ho of History request to homeancepodcast@gmail.com.
Homeance out.